Jesus Appears to the Disciples by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Luke 24. I could not leave this particular setting without going to these verses to remind us that God is about being with us, to help us, and yes, empower us to do what it is we need to do. Let's pray before we go to the Lord. Lord, it's good to serve you.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to capture the dream that you have for us. Help us, Lord, even when we can't see it all, to go forward, to face those obstacles we face in your strength, to rely upon your grace, your energy, your direction. Help us when things don't even make sense to just continue pressing on in the battle. And God, we know that you'll be with us and guide us and keep us along life's way and use us, Lord, especially to bring glory and honor and praise to your name. You alone are worthy. And we praise you for that. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 24, beginning with verse number 44. We're going to give you a little bit of background before we get to what we want to look at this morning. This is the Lord Jesus appearing to his disciples. He's going to give them the Great Commission. There's a number of appearings that Jesus makes before he makes his ascension into heaven. Remember, this is a 50-day period after his resurrection. He's here. He ascends on the 40th day, and then the power is sent on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. Okay? And so Jesus appears many times to his disciples. He wants them to know that he's real. Prior to verse 44, Jesus has already said for them to give him something to eat so they'll know he's real. They thought he was a spirit. How do you show somebody he's real? Can a spirit eat something? No, Jesus did after his resurrection. He ate bread and honeycomb. I guess that's good for you. Jesus ate honey, right?
Honey's good for you.
Honey's good for you. In fact, it has some properties in honey that are, if it's local honey, especially, it has some properties in there that will help you give immunities and different things. That amazes me, because this honey here in this area is different than honey 100 miles away. It has different things that help you with allergens, for example. And this is not a science class this morning, but I think it's cool the way God has designed his universe, or this universe where we live. I mean, he made it all, right?
Amen.
And he made beyond what we can see. And it all runs in order. And it blows my mind that people can't get it. You know, you look at all the design and everything that's there. It didn't just happen. If you left it to chance, there's no way, no how it ever happened. Right? It can't. There's no way, no how. It could all come together so well and orchestrate and work as it does. But you know, we can look at the world and we can see there's order. And sure, the sun goes down over there. The next day it'll come up over here. I may not see it for the clouds, but it will. Day after day after day. God's order. God's in charge. And in fact, the scripture says, by Him, that is, by the Lord Jesus, all things consist or stay together. It doesn't all fly apart. It stays together. Because of His very word, He speaks and it's done.
Amen.
Wow. Now, people, that's power. There ain't. There ain't anybody who can do that but God. People say, I can create something, I can make something. All you do is put the parts of the arrestor set together. Okay? It's already there, all the parts, all the pieces. You make something out of nothing like God did, and then I'll say, yeah, I'll listen now. Yeah, I'll listen. He's awesome.
Amen.
I've seen Him working in my life. I see how faithful and true He's been to me. He's a lot more faithful than I am to Him. I'll tell you that. An example. Long time ago, and some of you already learned this, I learned if I would honor God with the first fruits of my increase, God would honor me. He always has. Always has. Always came through. Recently, He's come through with way more than what I could ever imagine or think or hope for. I'm here to tell you the church is going to get their rightful share. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. If God blesses me, I need to turn back and say, God, I know You're the one that said it. I know You're the one that said it, and I'm going to honor You by giving that back that portion to You. He's awesome. He's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
And that's just one example. Well, I'll think back in my life and think, man, I look at other pastors and what happened with their family. I've been blessed. I'll get kids that love the Lord and are serving the Lord. I'm just praying He'll send somebody along that loves the Lord, that'll love them too. Because I'd sure like to have some grandkids too someday.
You know, you'll regret that.
I'll never regret that. I love kids. I was in my heyday this past week with them little pre-Ks. They will learn so much. They are like, they suck it out of you. Or at least they do out of me. I can't give them enough. I want to teach them. I want to show them the way. I want to help them. Because, listen, somebody helped me. Somebody helped me way back then. And I want to pay it forward. Amen?
Amen.
Because those dear, sweet ladies that taught Vacation Bible School or me, God rest their souls, they're all dead now. But they gave their heart and soul for us, us kids in that community, little community of Castleton. How many of you know where Castleton, Kansas is at? A few of you know. There's still a small little church there. None of those ladies are there anymore because they're gone and went to be with Jesus. I'm sure they did. They taught us about Jesus. They taught us Bible verses. They taught us two lessons every day, 5 days a week, in that 1 week, so we could get it all done in 1 week. That way their husbands would allow them to come because they like to eat. And most of them are old farm guys, and their wives come and taught vacation Bible school to us and taught us about Jesus, about the Bible stories. And I love them all to death for what they poured in my life. And if I do anything, they get reward on behalf of them because of all they poured into my life. God bless their souls.
Yes.
They were good to me. And they served the Lord faithfully where the Lord put them. I guess that's extra too. Look at the word. Jesus says here in verse 44, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." Now, the law of Moses, of course, as we shared, last week, are the first five books, which is called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, oh, that was when, well, it's been several weeks ago, hadn't it?
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks, okay, I lose track of weeks, man, they go in a hurry. 2 weeks ago, and little nephew Titus was here, wasn't he? Titus was helping me out. And Titus shared with me those first five books of the Bible are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He just said them about that quick. And of course, he is in Awanas, which is a great program. They do a lot of Bible memory. Praise the Lord, that's good. And all of those things. Oh, little kids can soak that in. Us old people have a harder time memorizing. We have to really work at it. They just kind of soak it right in. And wow, I love when they teach the truths in song as well, because songs are something we can remember. Songs are something that speak to our personal heart and our soul, and they encourage us and help us. And there's a lot of those little songs that I remember as a kid, by the way, at Vacation Bible School. A lot of those. Man, super important. But Jesus said, "I want to complete those things that are written in the books of Moses and the Psalms, and what else was it? The prophets. Wow, there's a lot of prophets, aren't there? In fact, on which night is it? Wednesday night, when we're studying one of those prophets? Zechariah, I believe it is, isn't it? Zechariah. Really haven't gone into much detail myself personally until this time through. With Zechariah, there's so much about Jesus Christ in Zechariah, prophecies concerning him. You know, we know 9:9. You know, he comes riding on the donkey, the colt, the foal. But there's buku of those prophecies. And Jesus, you realize Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies in the Old Testament, every single one of them. And you look at it and say, wow, nobody could intentionally do that. But Jesus, the Son of God, he talked about it. And he did it. And so here he is, sharing those things with them. And then in verse 45 is an important verse. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." You see, the scriptures, the word of God tells us, are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. It's not like I'm a great scholar and I know this or that, but rather it's God by his Spirit helps me to understand. He opens my understanding so that I will know these truths, and further, how I can apply these truths in my personal life today. I believe God doesn't just want us to know about the Scriptures. He wants us to apply the Scriptures to daily life. Amen?
Amen.
God wants us to live the truth. You know? And we've got to know the truth before we can live it. Right? No. And then practice it. Live it. Wow. And that's when life gets exciting. When we see God beginning to work all these things out in our life and shape us and mold us into somebody different, somebody new. In fact, the Word has a word for that too, doesn't it? His shaping us of us is in fact him working through us to accomplish the work he wants us to do. And you know, God's just about an important work. And that work is in each one of us. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us in the dark, does he? He wants us to walk in the light as he's in the light. And to follow him, and he'll show us the way. Keep on the path. The Word will show you the path. There's one way to heaven. Not many. Not many. You know, that's a falsehood in our world today. People think, oh, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. Oh, no, they're not. Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. Only way. And he proved he's the only way by what he did and what he said. He spoke like no man. He did things no man could do. That's Jesus in a nutshell. He is beyond what humanity can do. Why? Because he's the very Son of God. That's who he is. He said, I am. That's who he is. He proved it by what he did. He said to them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, the gospel message must be preached. You're going to start here, and you're going to go elsewhere. Why? All over the place. Tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. He's risen from the dead. Does that get you excited, Harvey?
Yeah. You bet.
Yeah. Because he is risen and you believed on him, one day you're going to be raised up too.
Amen. Yeah.
For believers, that is the great promise. Great promise that keeps us pressing forward. Because we know this, listen to me, this is the worst it's going to get for you if you're a believer. Yeah, we can have some difficulties and trials, and we will. We will. You can depend on it. But it's going to be worth it all and then some when you see Christ. Because guess what? Everything's going to be perfect over there. Man. And you know what? I'm excited to see some of those who have gone on before me.
Amen.
Some of them dear sweet ladies that taught me in Vacation Bible School, I'll be able to say thank you. Thank you for putting that effort into this little boy way back then. You know? And people, that's, by the way, is the reason we put all that effort into those little kids downstairs. Right? Because they need to know Jesus in a real and personal way too. Amen? Because that's the only way, the only way out of this place in this, by knowing Jesus in a real and personal way. Now we get down to verse 48, he says, you are witnesses of all these things. Now, verse 49, here's where I'm going. Behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you. What did Jesus promise over in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14? A Bible scholar knows that already, right? The promise is the comforter, isn't it? If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back. But in the meantime, I'm going to send the comforter. He will not only live with you, he'll live inside of you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He will be what you need in this world. He will be your seal, which is the assurance of your eternal salvation through Christ.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good stuff. He says, I send the promise of the Father to you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, tarry until you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
Realize we can't do a thing without the enduing of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he indwells. But he's got to come and fill us. He's got to come and guide us. He's got to come and direct us, because we haven't a clue which way to go or what to do. And what we've got to do is learn to listen. Listen to God. Because he is still that still, small voice that speaks to us. He doesn't yell like a preacher. He speaks to us calmly, confidently, and calmly, carefully, explaining to us which way it is we need to go, what it is we need to do. We've got to learn to listen. Listen to what God says. Do what God says we ought to do. You know, we've got examples in Scripture of people that didn't do what God told them to do. The Old Testament's filled with them. They're called the Israelites, by the way. Today we've got people just like them filling church pews. They're not listening to God either. They're doing what they want to do. You'll not be blessed till you do what it is God wants you to do.
Amen.
You'll not be blessed. But hold on when you decide to go all in with God. Hold on. Because God has good things in store for you. He's not some Santa Claus in the sky. No. But he's a good, good Father.
Amen.
Just like one of those popular new songs says, he is a good, good Father. He knows how to correct us and chasten us when we need corrected. But he also knows how to bless us when we're going the right way. Because he wants to encourage us to keep us going in that way. That sounds like a great father to me. A great way to parent. That's part of the problem we have in our communities and all over today, though. A bunch of our fathers are AOL. They're out of commission. They're somewhere way off there. And I'm reminded of that when I watch, I like to watch football and watch them kids come down there and they score. Hi, Mom! How many of you here say, hi, Dad?
No.
Tell you what, about 3/4 of them don't have a dad at home. They need a dad. need somebody that's going to be a dad, right? Somebody that'll set a godly example for them. Amen?
That's right.
That's what our world needs today.
Amen.
But before we're going to have that, we got to have some individuals who are endued with power from on high, because I guarantee you none of you can live as you ought to live except the Holy Spirit empower you to live that way.
That's right.
Only the Lord can make the difference. But if He's in you, you could be the man or the woman you need to be. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what He's after today. He wants to endue people still today with the power they need to accomplish His work. Because the Lord, listen to me, the Lord is still building His church.
Amen.
He's still building it. And I think it's time for us, even in Lewis, Kansas, to wake up and remember God's still on the move. And we need to learn to listen to Him and follow Him and serve Him with all of our hearts.
That's right.
I think some of you already captured the vision. I pray that more people will capture that vision. Because God can do great things with just one man or one woman that's willing to say, God, here I am. You take my life, you shape my life, you use my life like you want to, and you empower my life so that I can do the things that honor you. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of praise and glory and adoration. Don't give us the praise He needs to get. Glorify the Lord if He's working in somebody's life. Give Him the praise and adoration. He's the one that makes it possible. Why? Because He's gone before us and He's already prayed the Father that He would send the Comforter. And when the Comforters come, we have access to the power that we need to accomplish His work. Praise God!
Amen.
Are you ready to fill your slot on the team? It takes more than one person to make a team. Now, I've seen some teams that thought, one or two people thought that they were the team. But it doesn't take them, for example, it doesn't take many players on a team of basketball, even basketball, to overpower a couple of outstanding players. If five play well together, they can whip that other team every time. Same thing on a football team too, isn't it, Coach? I mean, they've all got to work together. They've all got to capture the dream. They've all got to press forward and give it their all. And that's when you have a winning team. When they all lay it on the line. And it's time for God's people to lay it all on the line for Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your people here. Lord, they've been dear and close to us. We praise You for them. We thank how You're working even right now in their lives. We pray, Lord, You continue to work in and through them. Use us all to give glory to You. And most of all, we want to see souls saved in this community. We want to see souls come to Christ. We want to see others come to know Him, begin to serve Him with a true, true heart. Help us and guide us all by Your Spirit, Lord, and help us to glorify Your name in the things we do and say every day. We ask and pray in Christ's name.